broadcast this morning. We're streaming live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube as we speak. Feel free to let us know what you think about some of the stories that we have for you on the second part of Daily Today this morning. I'm Sharif Quadri.
And I'm Jimmy Dusu. Good morning.
Let's start this morning by looking at this story on page 5 of the Vanguard newspaper. Alleged graft, treason, Tinubu, Atiku seek each other's arrest, disqualification.
Now you ask yourself, what has this got to do with the cost of sliced bread? Mm. Morning, everybody. The election campaign, that's the campaigns that are going on now, are very, very uninspiring. And I wonder, am I supposed to go and cast myself, to cast my vote at the polls because they are asking for each other's arrest? What they are accusing each other of, we all know. If it comes to that, there is nothing new in these things about graft, Atiku's alleged offences, a conversation between some gentleman called Achimugu and Atiku, and he listed four other offences and so on and so forth. They're also talking about some marine float account and this and that, all corruption related issues, and it's a case of the pot calling the pot calling the kettle black.
Black, yeah.
And that is very uninspiring. Look, the election is just around the corner. Are voters supposed to vote on these things? And I must say that I was asked this question on a TV program last night. And I must say that, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I said, I no longer look forward to this election because I don't know. It's choosing between Baladi and Balaba. It's same thing, you know. Same thing. Nothing concrete to sell people. I was telling Sheriff, he calls me ancestor, so I had to tell you this, that I remember the good old, and see how many years ago it is, when you talk of the UPN's four cardinal points. You know, when you talk of the UPN's four cardinal points, you talk about the MPN's agri policy and so on and so forth. You talk about politics without bitterness of the GNPP. You talk about the talakawas from the PDP. All these things were issue-based. Mm. What we have now is what we call Ijaiboro. And I think it's because most of them are actually bereft. They are not exhibiting any passion in passing something over to the people. You don't get that passion. Awolowo kept going on about these four cardinal points. How come I'm remembering it now, many years after the man himself has died? And you know, we're taking the wrong end. If I just wish that between the two major parties, they had brought some younger people with younger ideas. You know, imagine, and I will say it again, without, if you had the Fashola or Oshibajo on the one hand, and you had the Chidoka, what's his name? The Chidoka.
Osita.
If you had Osita, or the former Minister for Information. There's a former Minister for Information, rather, Nweke.
If you had Frank Nweke Jr.
Frank Nweke Jr. Okay. If you had people like this, you have a more virile debate. But these people are bereft, as far as I'm concerned. Down the line, they're bereft of ideas.
Okay.
And therefore, just take this entertainment. There's nothing new. It made front page. You need to see the punch. It's splashed all over the front page. But I wouldn't grab the paper. I wouldn't grab the paper just because I saw there's nothing new there, just because I saw that. It's too late to appeal to anybody to do something sensible. So we just have to go along with this jaguajantis that we have, in all honesty. And it's sorrowful. For those of us who have been following elections, you know, over and over and over and over again, where we have gotten to is like we've taken like 15 steps backwards. With the gods help Nigeria.
But isn't this part of politics, though? Try to demarket your position.
It's stupid politics. You don't gain anything from it. In fact, sometimes I even think, now that you mentioned it, I even think that it's tactless. With the spokesperson of one of the parties was calling on the other, calling on the other candidate of the other party to talk about something that affects his own candidate more, drawing attention to his own candidate. It's tactless. And that's because they just won't, these politicians just won't employ professionals to give them a sense of direction in the way these things are going. Bola Tinubu's campaign to become governor about 20 something years ago is even 10 times more exciting than what you have now. Unless you just want to get yourself entertained with sleaze. It's bereft of ideas. It's bereft of ideas. It's even at state level, there's almost nothing going on at state level between the two principal actors, Jando and Sanwo-Olu. You don't get anything. You don't get anything new. It's always about personal. This Jando says he's going to break the monopoly in Lagos. Okay, and then bring what? As far as Sanwo-Olu's concerned, I think he's more concerned with the national presidential elections at even state level, because maybe he thinks it's going to be a walkover. So at the end of the day, we are getting the wrong end of the stick, and it's quite frustrating, very, very frustrating and uninspiring. But we have to live with what we have. I'm looking forward to the day when we will have well-structured parties, where the leaders of the party, long before elections, would have identified 2-3 people and said, look, this is the best direction in which we can go.
Talking of that, Kenneth on our live stream on YouTube says you can't possibly generalize that they don't all have ideas just because the two major parties don't have ideas. It's almost as if you've already ruled out the other candidates.
Well, you're right. And that's the way the mind works. You're absolutely right. I agree with you, and I take that criticism in good faith. But I'm a human being. That's the way it works. I'm a human being, and I'm being asked this question spontaneously.
Yeah.
Unless we want to be hypocritical about it. I can't even name, outside Tinubu, Tinubu, Atiku, Obi, and maybe Kwakwanso, I don't know a fifth candidate. That's the honest to God truth.
I watched one candidate yesterday on Arise. His name is Dr. Malik Ado something. I can't even remember his name. Sadly, unfortunately.
Of which party?
He's running on the... I can't remember the party as well. My point is that he's so brilliant.
Yes!
He's very smart.
By the way, I'd like to implore all of you to go and read Pastor Tunde Bakare's sermon on Sunday. He has a video version, but he also has a written version to go and read. Go and read it.
Oh, his party is YPP. Sorry, I just remembered now.
The man's party.
Yes.
Is that not part of electric? What do you call it?
Electric YPP. What? YPP. YPP is Young People's Party.
Oh, okay.
YPP is Young People's Party.
Okay. But I take that criticism. He's absolutely right. This gentleman is absolutely right, and I take that criticism. But I'm only human, you know. Whether we like it or not, is between the three or four majors. That's what it is.
Right.
And you can't blame me for narrowing down. This thing, I'm sure Sheriff will tell you, is such a hard exercise to keep up with what is going on, because it's full of scandal and dirt and this and that. And we are human beings.
Yeah.
But I like, what's the man's name again?
Kenneth.
Kenneth, you're right. You're right.
Let's go to the punch. Let's see the Vanguard now. Emefiele, DSS running battle paused as CBN governor resumes.
This is another issue that actually shouldn't have come up. The question to ask is, and some journalist should drive up or go up to, listen, and demand an interview with the DSS DG, or at least with Dr. Afunaya, and ask a very... Because what happened yesterday was everybody expected Emefiele would be arrested, or some said he had already been arrested, his office had been surrounded. But there is definitely something going on between the DSS went to court to file, to get an order to arrest this gentleman. I think that it would help us a lot to knock out all these speculations, if the DSS could come out and give us a reason why you went to court to say you wanted to arrest this man. Well, they said something like for funding terrorism and so on and so forth. Maybe they need to expand that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what has happened. You said you wanted to arrest the man. The man was in the office yesterday and nothing happened. And then the CBN now issued a statement, which also showed that something is not just too well. But why would you issue a statement when a man comes back from leave? And the CBN says the governor resumed with renewed vigor to perform his duty ahead of the monetary policy meeting and so on and so forth. And now you had to add to the statement. I don't know why every statement has to do with a bit of propaganda. Emefiele remains committed to performing the task before him in line with his oath of office and policy direction of Mr. President. I think that Emefiele will go down in history as the most controversial governor the CBN ever had. And there are loads of things against him that could jolly well have been avoided. I don't have the time to go through all the quote-unquote misdeeds of the governor. Okay? And so CBN also urged Nigerians to support the policies of the bank and so on and so forth. The statement from the DSS reads in part, the attention of the Department of DSS has been drawn to the false news making the round that its operatives invaded the central bank and arrested the governor. This is fake news and quite misleading. And the newspaper goes on to say the development appears to have put a temporary stop to the reported plot by the DSS to arrest the nation's number one banker. I think behind the scenes, it won't be out of place for the presidency, indeed the president, to get behind the scenes to try and find a way to resolve this mess. It's not good for our image.
Do you think the president doesn't know?
To resolve it, that's what I mean. He might know. We don't know. This is one government that nobody can really understand.
Or do you think he should resign? I mean, if someone
should resign?
Godwin Emefiele.
Oh, I thought you said the president.
No. I mean, if the DSS is asking questions about your personal integrity, you should have problems with that. Like, you have every right to challenge that.
What passport does he carry?
Who?
Emefiele.
I don't know.
Of course, he carries a Nigerian passport.
I really don't know.
How many Nigerians have you seen resigned on a matter of honor? Honor. How many?
Not much.
Do you have an idea of what it takes to become a CBN governor? Sit back and reflect, and let's talk about it tomorrow. What it takes to become CBN governor of a country like ours.
I think his integrity, his name, should mean more to him than the office.
I think so too.
Because look, we've been here back and forth. They wanted to arrest you at the airport. You find your way to the office. They came to your office.
Remember this?
Oh no,
this,
we didn't go to his office.
This gentleman Mr. Sheriff, I need to remind you, was the man who also, I believe, ran for presidency in the APC.
Oh yes, of course he did.
So have you heard in any country of note?
I haven't.
That
I know the governor. I haven't.
He didn't even listen. You don't know whether I wanted to say, have you heard whether I'm going to the toilet 3 times a day or what? I mean, the Emefiele himself, I'm sorry to say, it is my considered opinion that he hasn't carried himself well in any manner. In any manner, even operationally. For example, when you wanted to change this currency, whatever it is, change the color, whatever it is.
I was going to ask you a question on that.
You, for some funny reason, you couldn't even, by telephone call, tell the finance minister. Mm. Do you think the finance minister will sabotage what you want to do? You didn't tell the finance minister. Yes, you have the powers.
Yes.
But there's something called discretion. There is something called discretion. I also believe that if the DSS, no matter how severe the problem is, if the DSS have a problem with Emefiele, given his position, a conversation should have taken place between the DSS DG and the president. Not to stop him, but to say, sir, there's a security issue I need to discuss with you, and I'd like to give you a heads up on the way we are going to handle this. Don't forget that under all laws, you are also permitted something called discretion. And it is crucial. For a man to know how to exercise discretion is even is almost as important as him knowing the laws under which he operates. Something called discretion. You know, if somebody comes tomorrow and they say, okay, that idiot with glasses, they come to meet you. They come to meet you that, you know, that idiot with glasses, blah, 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 blah. You will have a meeting with me before I go to meet whoever it is. Or let me put it the other way around. Supposing I get a phone call that tells me that okay, please come to our office. We need to talk to you. I don't work here. I'm just a guest on this program. But simple courtesy and discretion demands that I talk to you and the management before I go there. Because I'm not going there to represent the company. Yes, but by implication, we are tied. I'm just trying to show that things are not just done by law. Why, for the life of me, the finance minister at that level didn't know? I don't understand.
Yeah, beats me too.
This Buhari's government has been quite peculiar in a number of ways, and I'm just praying that we move away from such things in future.
Yeah. Let's go back to the Vanguard. On page 9, we have a story here that says, Davos 2023, three richest men in Nigeria wealthier than 83 million Nigerians. Oxfam.
When I saw this, Owami Boni.
As in, yeah.
You all know Davos 2023 that takes place in Switzerland. I think it's every year in Switzerland. And they have said that in a report, it revealed that three richest Nigerians, three people, one, two, three, okay, were currently wealthier than the rest of us, that 83 million citizens. And it was contained in a report. That was 2023 inequality report unveiled at a briefing in Abuja by the country director, Oxfam Nigeria, Dr. Vincent Ahonsi, who was represented by the program's director, budget, and so on and so forth, Regina Afiemo. Oxfam called for higher taxation of world's super-rich persons to bridge the inequality gap. The reason why you have this gap, to be honest with you, is that a lot of our so-called, not all of them, but a lot of our so-called very rich people have had their hands in the cookie jar through oil theft. They're the ones involved in oil theft. They're the ones involved in subsidy. Some of them are the greatest philanthropists ever. Why wouldn't you be a philanthropist where you have your hands permanently in the cookie jar? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you look at what goes on the subsidy and you remember the report, the video report about how our oil is being frittered away, it's the elites. It's some members of the elite. And you can now see three. I'm not saying these three people, I don't know who they are, but they are richer than 83 million Nigerians. It's sad. Oxfam called for more tax on billionaires. I don't think more tax is the problem. I think it's to check corruption, access to public funds. It's unimaginable. It's too much easy money. That's why you see too much easy money from government coffers, from drugs, that's why you see some mental instability in some of the things that our elite do. I'm serious.
Did you say mental instability?
Yes. You see some mental instability in the way some of our so-called people, because you can't, the money.
The kind of things they do with money.
The kind of things they do with money.
What's it for, Juni?
When I turn the news, somebody is turning 50 or turning 60, then you hear 40 people are taking, each one of them is taking one page to congratulate him in the papers, and he's paying for all the adverts. His 10-year-old son will be taking an advert in the papers to congratulate him. Congratulations, daddy. Where did he get it? You know what I mean?
Okay, so that's weird. That's very, very weird.
Very, very weird. I don't know. I no longer recognize the country I'm living in. There's so much free money that we have lost completely the values that we grew up with. This report is quite significant. So the for me, it's not so much taxing them, but closing the net, closing the door to public funds. It's a bit late now because it has become a habit. Some civil servants are richer than people who have industries in this country.
Hmm.
I mean, a very good example. And some people get money, pass that accountant general away, then they talk. We know them. You know, money cannot, you can't hide it. It's a spirit. You know? It says that the wealth of Nigerian billionaires has grown by a third since the start of COVID. When we all of us were going to scream, exercise our lungs at Ojota some years back, we didn't know we were being manipulated by this. Oh my God, I've missed you.
I mean, we can't also rule out the complicity of the political class in all of this.
There's no complicity because they're the same.
I'm looking.
They are both reared in the same farm.
Yeah.
Okay, you're talking about complicity. Have you seen anybody without any form of money, that money, that says he wants to contest? And isn't it? Aren't we looking at the contest of billionaires?
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about here? They are the same. There's no influence. They are the same because after money comes power. That's why you find only the rich. Is at state level is terrible. At state level is terrible. Have you forgotten the retired DIG who said he got to the floor of, was it the Senate then or House of Reps, and he said almost half of the people there, he had files on them. Let's call it a spade. Some of our political leaders are drug dealers, they're into 419, they're into all kinds of things, they're into kidnapping, all kinds of things. And as soon as some people retire, the next thing they want to be is to go back into go into government again through politics. It's how many? I want you to sit back and ask you this question. I'll ask you again on Friday.
Okay.
Can you give me a list of 30 people who are in politics for the people's sake?
That'll be hard.
Yeah.
We have.
I said give me 30.
We can get 30. That's what I'm saying. Okay. But it will just be hard.
Okay, it's a job I've given you. You can't put me there. I'm also going to politics.
No, you're not. No, you're not. We will not allow it. We'll carry placard.
But that again is sad. That again is sad because people like you and I, we're patriotic. We want our. That's why we're doing this job. That's why we're doing this job. You and I both know that any one of us could get a 10 times, 50 times better income. That will not even be job self. You think that I don't have the influence to go to the central bank and get myself allocated $1 million every month and sell it on the black market?
You don't have.
Are you daring me?
I think so.
Are you daring me?
I'm daring you.
I take exception to this.
50-50 naira.
Don't you know who I am? Yeah, Mr. Bedford.
50-50 naira.
I would do very well. No. I mean, the way people make money, who do you think, all this exchange, whatever it is, it's the elite. This man said it. Was the former CBN governor, who was the former MI of Kano, Sanusi.
Yeah.
He said it. The people in this country.
And another lawmaker also to
yes, the people in this country who just roll over their forex. Every month they're guaranteed that location.
So, you know, I'm sorry, guys. We're going to have to stop the paper here. It's time to really talk about some things, right?
Okay.
So when we have a situation that we are in right now, even if we have a central bank governor who wants to do something, who wants to cause a change, the rot in the system itself that you can extrapolate out of the central bank into the larger society that you've mentioned about the elites and all, do you think that rot would allow anybody
say with that an apology that it's even going to be extremely difficult for that kind of person to become CBN governor in this
position. The person may not even get there in the first place.
You don't want
How about if the person knows how to play the politics, like he plays the politics well until he gets in, then he wants to change the status quo?
Sheriff, I want to be around to cast my vote. Okay, because you see, the way we are structured, and I'm sorry to say this, and I need to be careful. I don't want to indict anybody directly with something that I have no, we all have a fair idea of what it is, what gets you to that position. Usually, I don't know whether it's that in this case, usually you'll be doing somebody's bidding. That person will be the forerunner of placing you there because of the interest therein. Nigeria has become a very, very, only God knows who's going to turn this country around. Usually, at the way we are, usually, I don't know whether it's that in anybody's case now, you will be representing some people's interests. To say, go there and help us, you know, you'll be able to take care of yourself.
Too. And anytime you decide that you're no more doing their bidding, they already have files on you.
They have files on you. So, yeah.
Okay, that's really troubling.
Let us end it here.
That's really troubling. Sorry, sir.
Somebody told me in a dream, whispered to me in a dream, that be wary of Sheriff.
Hey, what you do?
We are
not from the same village, so you cannot say the village people.
Beware of Sheriff. Beware of Sheriff. Somebody, one Woli and one Imam, the two of them sent me messages. So I've sent it to my Dubi. To help me transfer it to his people, let them give me a final answer. Until that time, I'm not answering your questions again.
All right, sir. Until that time will be tomorrow. We have to go now. Thank you so much.
Have a nice day, everybody.
But you'll be back at 9.
Yes, sir. Candid Johnson is here.
Oh, fantastic.
Talk about the state of the nation.
I can't wait for that. Lagos, we'll be back with the news.
You summon the oracle now. Greetings, my king. How can the oracle serve you?
You will tell me the secret to your power. How did that keke move without a driver?
And I want to assume that you would run, because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not